理课堂听 class.com。
Task 2. Listen to the tape and do the following exercises. 1. Listen to the following report about opinions towards America and Americans. Then decide whether the statements below are true or false.
What are other people's opinions towards Americans?The Pew Foundation has just released a study of 38,000 interviews in 44 countries. Bruce Stokes, the report's author, summarizes his key insights as the following. The snapshot is good. A majority of citizens in 32 of 42 countries have a favorable opinion of the US. The trend is not as good. Favorability towards the US has declined in 19 of 37 countries since 1999.The notable pocket of anti-Americanism is among Muslim nations. 2 out of 3 citizens of Egypt and Pakistan have unfavorable opinions of the US, going up to 3 out of 4 in Jordan. Canada, Mexico, and all countries in Western Europe have less than a majority who say they like the American idea of democracy, whereas Africans and Asians overwhelmingly say they like it.A majority of citizens in 37 of 42 countries say that differences between their country and the US stem from differences in policies, not values.
The fact that global approval of the US declined is disturbing, especially when you consider that the 2000 data was taken pre-9/11. Still, there is no way to know how much of the trend is real,and how much is the result of fashionable anti-Americanism or reactions to the global headlines at the time of the survey. The survey suggests that foreigners differentiate between hating the US government and the American citizens. But the last of Stokes' points about values and policies gets at this. There is a gap between what they think we as a people do and what we as a people value. Given this point,and the practical concerns of downward-trending approval ratings, Stokes asks us, do we need to re-evaluate our policies in light of this data? Are there other ways to pursue our self-interest without increasingly alienating other countries? 2. Listen again. With your partner, discuss a response to the following question.
What are other people's opinions towards Americans? The Pew Foundation has just released a study of 38,000 interviews in 44 countries. Bruce Stokes, the report's author, summarizes his key insights as the following. The snapshot is good. A majority of citizens in 32 of 42 countries have a favorable opinion of the US. The trend is not as good.Favorability towards the US has declined in 19 of 37 countries since 1999. The notable pocket of anti-Americanism is among Muslim nations. 2 out of 3 citizens of Egypt and Pakistan have unfavorable opinions of the US, going up to 3 out of 4 in Jordan. Canada, Mexico, and all countries in Western Europe have less than a majority who say they like the American idea of democracy, whereas Africans and Asians overwhelmingly say they like it. A majority of citizens in 37 of 42 countries say that differences between their country and the US stem from differences in policies, not values.
The fact that global approval of the US declined is disturbing, especially when you consider that the 2000 data was taken pre-9/11. Still, there is no way to know how much of the trend is real and how much is the result of fashionable anti-Americanism or reactions to the global headlines at the time of the survey. The survey suggests that foreigners differentiate between hating the US government and the American citizens. But the last of Stokes' points about values and policies gets at this. There is a gap between what they think we as a people do and what we as a people value. Given this point, and the practical concerns of downward-trending approval ratings, Stokes asks us, do we need to re-evaluate our policies in light of this data? Are there other ways to pursue our self-interest without increasingly alienating other countries? 3. Listen to the following short passage and then answer each of the questions below in about 10 words. They don't all hate Americans.
For most of the 90s, I was the only German-speaking American in a small town near Wiesbaden, Germany. I had excellent insight into what the average person thought about Americans, because every time I left my house, someone would ask me questions about America and its people. I didn't meet anyone who hated Americans. For the most part, they were curious about things they had heard on the news. For example, President Clinton and his women were a major topic of conversation. German opinion was that it wasn't anyone's business what the man did in his spare time as long as he was doing his job. Most of the Europeans I met liked America as a country, but thought the American people were strange. It's a fact that one can pick out the Americans in a large crowd, because they are not only lacking in fashion sense, but are also often the loudest people in the crowd. I've become very European now, and from a European perspective, here's my opinion. Europeans may find Americans silly and trivial at times, but they don't hate us.
Unit 5, Bad Habits. Part 1, Communication Skills, Making Complaints. Task 2, listen to the tape and do the following exercises. 1, listen to the following dialogue once and then answer the questions below. Eating in the school dining hall. Laura and Adam are waiting in line in the school dining hall.
How come the line's moving so slowly? I'm running out of patience.
Calm down. Don't be so quick to complain. The more impatient you get, the longer you feel that you're waiting.
It's not just the long lines. I don't feel like being here at all. The food is always the same. I'm getting fed up with it.
It's not so bad. I think they've made quite a lot of progress in diversifying the food. And even if the food does leave much to be desired, at least the prices are low. Cheer up. Look at the brighter side of things.
Yeah, I guess you're right. There's at least that to be grateful for.
Good. Oh, it's your turn now. Hurry up, I'm hungry. 2. Listen to the following dialogue and then answer the questions below. Housework is endless.
Hello.
Hi, Mum. This is Tracy.
Oh, Tracy. You don't sound okay. Anything wrong with you or the baby?
Not really, Mum, but I do feel exhausted.
Oh, come on. It's something. What is it?
It's just the life. This routine. It's so boring.
Oh, it is not that bad. But I know how you feel. Still, you've got Tony.
But he is only a baby. It's all right for his dad. He leaves the house at 8 in the morning and doesn't come home till 7 in the evening. As for me, I'm at my wit's end. The baby woke up at midnight and wouldn't go back to sleep. And now he is crying again. The clothes have piled up and the house is a total mess. All this is driving me crazy.
But one of you must go to work, dear.
Yes, it's just that his days are interesting and mine are just the same every day.
My work now isn't always interesting. And imagine how I took care of you and your brother when you were little babies. Your dad was busy all day long, too, and I had to do all the housework by hand.
I know, but Peter gets to travel around, meet different people and do different things. Who will I meet today? What'll I do? I'll do the dishes, feed the baby, do the laundry, clean the house, bathe the baby, take the dog for a walk,
but... But, dear,
I'll go to the supermarket, prepare dinner, meet Peter at the station, have dinner, do the dishes again.
But, dear,
then I'll feed the baby again, put the baby to bed. What a life! Today, tomorrow, this week, next week, this month, next year, forever.
Oh, it is not so bad. But I know how you feel.
Thanks, Mum. Actually, these days, I've really been wondering how you managed that period. It would be the end of the world if I had twins to take care of as you did.
Well, as the saying goes, a burden of one's own choice is not felt. I managed fine because of the love for the two of you. Try to stop complaining, Tracy, and look at the larger picture. Think of the lifetime of love already in your hands. I'll see if I can come over to help you during the weekend.
Thank you, Mum. I feel much better now. Don't worry about me. Talk to you later.
Take care.
3. Listen to the dialogue again and complete the following sentence with information you get from the tape.
Hello.
Hi, Mum. This is Tracy.
Oh, Tracy, you don't sound okay. Anything wrong with you or the baby?
Not really, Mum, but I do feel exhausted.
Oh, come on. It's something. What is it?
It's just the life, this routine. It's so boring.
Oh, it is not that bad. But I know how you feel. Still, you've got Tony.
But he is only a baby. It's all right for his dad. He leaves the house at 8 in the morning and doesn't come home till 7 in the evening. As for me, I'm at my wit's end. The baby woke up at midnight and wouldn't go back to sleep, and now he is crying again. The clothes have piled up and the house is a total mess. All this is driving me crazy.
But one of you must go to work, dear.
Yes, it's just that his days are interesting and mine are just the same every day.
My work now isn't always interesting. And imagine how I took care of you and your brother when you were little babies. Your dad was busy all day long, too, and I had to do all the housework by hand.
I know, but Peter gets to travel around, meet different people and do different things. Who will I meet today? What'll I do? I'll do the dishes, feed the baby, do the laundry, clean the house, bathe the baby, take the dog for a walk.
But, dear,
I'll go to the supermarket, prepare dinner, meet Peter at the station, have dinner, do the dishes again.
But, dear,
then I'll feed the baby again, put the baby to bed. What a life! Today, tomorrow, this week, this month, next year, forever.
Oh, it is not so bad. But I know how you feel.
Thanks, Mum. Actually, these days, I've really been wondering how you managed that period. It would be the end of the world if I had twins to take care of as you did.
Well, as the saying goes, a burden of one's own choice is not felt. I managed fine because of the love for the two of you. Try to stop complaining, Tracy, and look at the larger picture. Think of the lifetime of love already in your hands. I'll see if I can come over to help you during the weekend.
Thank you, Mum. I feel much better now. Don't worry about me. Talk to you later.
Take care.
Task 3. Listen to the tape and do the following exercises. How to make a complaint. 1. Listen to the following tape about how to make a complaint and fill in the missing words or phrases.
When a consumer finds that an item he or she has bought is faulty or in some other way does not live up to the manufacturer's claim for it, the first step is to present the warranty or any other records which might help at the store of purchase. In most cases, this action will produce results. However, if it does not, there are various means the consumer may use to gain satisfaction. A simple and common method used by many consumers is to complain directly to the store manager. In general, the higher up the consumer takes his or her complaint, the faster he or she can expect it to be settled. In such a case, it is usually settled in the consumer's favour, assuming he or she has a just claim. Consumers should complain in person wherever possible, but if they cannot get to the place of purchase, it is acceptable to phone or write the complaint in a letter.
Complaining is usually most effective when it is done politely but firmly, and especially when the consumer can demonstrate what is wrong with the item in question. If this cannot be done, the consumer will succeed best by presenting specific information as to what is wrong, rather than by making general statements. For example, the left speaker does not work at all and the sound coming out of the right one is unclear is better than "this stereo does not work." The store manager may advise the consumer to write to the manufacturer. If so, the consumer should do this, stating the complaint as politely and as firmly as possible. But if a polite complaint does not achieve the desired result, the consumer can go a step further. She or he can threaten to take the seller to court or report the seller to a private or public organization responsible for protecting consumers' rights. 2. Listen to the tape again and then list at least 4 ways to make a complaint effectively.
When a consumer finds that an item he or she has bought is faulty or in some other way does not live up to the manufacturer's claim for it, the first step is to present the warranty or any other records which might help at the store of purchase. In most cases, this action will produce results. However, if it does not, there are various means the consumer may use to gain satisfaction. A simple and common method used by many consumers is to complain directly to the store manager. In general, the higher up the consumer takes his or her complaint, the faster he or she can expect it to be settled. In such a case, it is usually settled